blessing. I'd like you to ask you to pray for my wife. She's not feeling very well. She's got some a tooth issue right now, and it's really bothering her. It's giving her a fever. Really, she may have to have some dental work done. And so, would you pray for her, please? And also pray for the Lord to provide in those needs, those necessities. Okay, she's at home right now. She just is not doing very well today. So please pray for her. And next Sunday, we will be gone. We'll be down in Soldotna with Michelle and Morgan for their reception and their baby shower. And we're trying to be a blessing to them and meet her family and all of those things. They've asked us to do that. And I've asked the Lord if it was okay and if it was His will. And I do believe the Lord is allowing us to go and be a part of that and in order to minister to them and be a blessing to them. And so you pray for us as we're gone. And then next Sunday, Brother Humphrey, Pastor Humphrey, former pastor of the church, will be preaching in the morning, doing Sunday school and also the 11 o'clock. And then Brother Noah George, our missionary to Lebanon, will be preaching in the afternoon. And so you be faithful to those services and pray for them. And we'll trust that the Lord will have His way in those services. And we'll be down in Anilchik next Sunday, actually, in Brother Lambert's church. All right? So just a couple of announcements for you there, things to be aware of. And pray for those who are traveling as of today, those going on a rafting trip, that the Lord would keep them safe and they'd have an enjoyable time as well. Okay? All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll continue on in our practical Christian living series, and we're on lesson 34. We've been here for some time, almost a year already, actually, in this series. And that was a surprise to me when I took a look at the number of lessons that we've done in weeks that we've been involved in this series. And it was a little bit of a surprise that we have already almost been in this for a year. But it's been very profitable for me personally in my own Christian life, studying again through the general epistles. And these are practical issues that we deal with and face every day. And again, the Word of God gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and they're there for our benefit, but the real issue and crux of the matter is whether or not we apply what the Word of God reveals, whether or not we apply in our life the truth that God gives to us. And so we've covered a lot of different things, and we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're still in verse 7, and last week, we covered the first phrase where the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And we majored on this phrase for the last couple of weeks, actually, talking about communication and how important communication is in a marriage in order for a man to be able to know who his wife is, to meet her needs, and to know what his spirit, what his leadership role is as the spiritual leader of the home and setting the example in his home and so on, be able to dwell, to live, present tense, with a wife according to knowledge. That is the instruction. Now the context here begins in, well, context actually begins back in chapter 2. And the main context, the overall context, is submission. But the immediate context is in chapter 3 is instructions for a saved wife, how she ought to live in relationship to her husband if he's unsaved. And how through her godly lifestyle and her manner, he could be won to Christ. And then he says in verse 7, likewise, ye husbands. And so we could say that the instruction that we see here coming towards husbands could be applied in the same realm. Maybe it's a saved husband living with an unsaved wife. How should he live? And how and his manner and his leadership and his godliness could be the very thing that leads her to Christ and so on. But it has many, many applications along the way. And definitely applications made for husbands and wives in a Christian home as well. And so we're going to cover the next part of this verse and maybe even get all the way through the rest of verse 7. And so, yes, we've covered the first phrase and the instructions to dwell, present tense, to live with a wife according to knowledge, knowledge of what the responsibilities are in that relationship. Like I say, the spiritual leader in the home, setting the example of godliness to the wife and the children, knowledge of her emotional, physical, spiritual needs, to submit himself to meet those needs. And then having the Spirit under control, the control from the Holy Spirit. If we react in anger and going to extremes, we're defeating what could be accomplished inside our homes and defeating the ability to have a happy home and a contentment in the home. And so those are all things that we talked about the last couple of weeks in this series. And we talked about how good communication is the key to being able to dwell with them according to knowledge. We talked about how we're always communicating something, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. But good communication, the positive kind, the kind that's necessary for peace in the home, is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It needs to be worked at. And it's what God has commanded us to do. And God has given us the ability to have happy homes. He intends for our homes to be happy and godly if we'll apply what He's given to us in His words. In His Word. So, husbands have the responsibility to set the stage for all of that to take place inside of their home. All right? And so now we're going to focus on the rest of this verse this afternoon, and there are three main principles that we're going to examine. Let's read verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The three principles we're going to discuss is, first of all, giving honor unto the wife. The second is a partnership mentality. And then the third one is proper spiritual relations are the key to having the right marriage relationship. All right? So, let's first of all discuss giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I want us to do a little bit of a word study here through this verse. There are several words that if we look a little bit deeper into what they actually mean, will help uncover maybe a little bit more of what the Word of God is teaching us and help us to make some broader application and even some more pointed application as well. All right, so verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." Before we begin, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the preaching. Father, we ask for your blessings now. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to work in our hearts. Father, would you control me with your Holy Spirit? Father, that I would only say the things that you would have us to know and hear. And Father, that we would simply look to your word as the source of truth and not a man's wisdom or a man's understanding. But Father, that you teach us through your Holy Spirit. And Father, that you'd build our homes and our families. Father, make strong families in this church, and thereby making a strong church that is able to serve you and bring honor unto the Lord. Father, that is our goal and our desire, is that you receive the glory and honor. We love you, and we ask for your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first of all, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Let's look at these words here. Giving honor. All right, so I was studying through this message, I started digging into these words, and they do truly help expound some meaning to what the Word of God would teach us and what the Holy Spirit would have for us. The word giving here is a Greek word. It's aponemo is the word, and I'm not a Greek theologian or anything like that. I may not say the word or pronounce the word right, but the word means to apportion. It means to bestow. It means to assign. All right? So follow the thinking. He says, giving honor unto the wife. The word means to bestow. The word means to assign. And so he's speaking to husbands here. Husbands, live with them, dwell with them according to knowledge, bestowing upon, assigning honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. All right? You follow that? Now he says the word honor. The word honor is a Greek word, timē. And the word means precious valuables. It means esteem. It means dignity itself. So follow the line of thought here. Peter's speaking to these husbands, and he says, husbands, it's your job to assign or bestow precious value upon the wife as unto the weaker vessel. All right? Everybody following that? Understand the word picture here. As a husband, God's command is that you see your wife as precious, as valuable, as a gem, which would then cause you to place her in high esteem so that you treat her with respect and dignity. That's the word picture that he's trying to create. Give, assign, bestow, honor, precious value unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Think about it in terms like this. The value that we give to something, how we view something, the value we place on something by how we see it, will determine how we handle it and how we treat it. Everybody here? Everybody following this? The value that we place on something by how we view it will determine how we treat it and how we handle it. Some people value their car more than anything else. It is their prized possession. They spend thousands of dollars on rims. They put dubs on it, you know, on this little Honda Accord, whatever, and they got 20-inch rims on it, you know. And they're sitting back in the seat, you know, hitting their tunes and whatever. They drive it down a dusty Alaska road and, oh wait, maybe it's not here that they do that. Maybe that's in other places. Then they get out of their car and they go and dust it off. They get out their chamois towel, you know, and they get out their turtle wax and they wash it down and they shine it up. They, you know, a rock chip. You know? Some people treat their car like it's a baby. Handle with care because it's so precious to them. Some people treat their boats like that. Some people treat their houses like that. Everything has to be perfect all the time, immaculate, you know, not a scratch on the wall or a nick of paint missing or whatever. Some people treat it with great care because it's so valuable and precious to them. Now, we should take care of the things that God has given to us. We should not let them go and be in ruin. We should be good stewards of the resources that God has given to us. However, priority makes a big difference, doesn't it? How we value something makes all the difference in the world as to how we treat it. And some men will treat their cars and treat their boats and treat their houses and treat their jobs and treat their guns better than they treat their wives. They keep their gun clean and they keep their gun in good condition. But my wife's emotional needs, I don't really have time for that because I'm too busy. Those are her problems. She needs to deal with it. Rather than being sensitive to what her emotional needs are and fulfilling your God-given role to give, bestow precious value upon the wife as unto the weaker vessel. She's a gift from God. Some treat their wives like an old wrench in the garage. You know, you toss it around up on the workbench, and it's there when you need it, you know, to do some dirty work and so on. And then if for some reason it's not there when you need it, then you get angry and upset because you can't find what you need. Understand what I'm saying? Some men treat their wife like an old wrench in the garage versus treating her like fine china and valuable as a diamond or far greater. The care and the protection that a person would give to fine china far different than the care they would give to an old wrench in the garage. Right? This is the kind of value, though, that God says needs to be bestowed upon the wife as a valuable gem, a precious valuable. And how we see it and how we view it makes all the difference in the world than in how we treat it. Her, not it. You understand what I'm saying? The care and the concern and the care we give really depends on our view and how we view it. Do we have the right view is the question. Well, it'll be proven in how we relate to our wives and how we treat them. That will be the proof of how we see them. We are to protect and provide for her as the weaker vessel. That means, men, her feelings. That means her emotions as well. You know, if you really want to irritate me or upset me, just criticize and verbally assault my wife. That's not okay with me. My wife will never become somebody's punching bag without some retaliation. You understand what I mean? And I was expecting a bunch of amens out of the room, which I know you feel that way. But you know what? Here's the difference, though, guys. All the men would say, amen, amen. My wife's not going to be somebody's verbal punching bag. You know, amen. You don't say anything about my wife. You shouldn't treat her that way either. So often the tough guy says, no one can talk to my wife that way. But they do themselves by their critical words and their critical spirit. She is the weaker vessel. And the command is, now man, I'm not saying that any of you treat your wives that way. I don't know. I have not observed that. But this is the next portion of Scripture. And so we would do well to take heed and re-examine and apply the things that the Spirit of God reveals. You know what's in your home. Your wife knows how you treat her. And how would it be, men, if we went to every one of the wives in the room? And how would it be, Pastor Demlo, if we went to every one of... My wife's not here, you can't go to her. How would it be if we asked them the truth? How do you feel your husband treats you? Do you feel as though you're valuable and precious in his sight and necessary in his life? Do you feel like he treats you with respect and dignity? The respect and dignity you deserve. Now, ladies, let's be honest here. You can help your cause quite a bit in how you respond in the home as well. And how you behave and how you present yourself to your husband. You can help your cause quite a bit. But whether or not a wife is fulfilling the role she's supposed to play does not negate the fact that we as men have the responsibility before God. Amen? The Bible says here to bestow precious value upon her as unto the weaker vessel. Let's talk about the weaker vessel for a second. This refers simply to physical, emotional, or natural weakness. It has nothing to do with value of a person. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? It's simply referring to physical, emotional, and natural weaknesses. It's not that men are super strong and heroes. Men were weak. It just so happens that the woman is a little bit weaker. And so we have that responsibility to place that value on her, to understand what she is, so that causes us to put that protection for her that God has commanded us to give her, to meet those needs and provide for her and protect her. And it's not that we are super strong or superior in any way. She's just weaker. But sometimes men think of themselves as superior. Because the Bible says, you know, the woman was made for the man, and she's supposed to submit to him, and so on, blah, 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 blah. As if somehow we're superior. But we're not. She needs to be protected. She needs to be provided for. She needs to be nourished with an understanding of how valuable she really is. And you assign to her that place of honor in your life. And really, men, husbands, nothing except Christ should be more valuable to you than your wife. So treat her like it. Give her the respect and the dignity that she deserves. Let's look at the mind of Christ on the matter, how he feels about this issue. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and what? Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Christ set the example in how to love your wife, man. Just as he loved the church, he gave himself for it. Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. You know, your wife's needs ought to come before your own, men. All too often, though, it's the other way around in our society and in our culture. You know, men have to have their nice clothes, and they have to have, you know, all the shoes that they need, and they have to have everything taken care of, and they have to have all this stuff. And, oh, my wife has some needs, but we'll get to those sooner or later. Or else they don't even have a clue what they are. You know? And that's maybe one simple, silly illustration. It could be played out in so many areas and so many facets. Like, oh, there's this gun that I really, 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 really want. And I've been wanting this thing for so long. And I've got, you know, the $700, $800, $900 I could go and buy this gun that I really want. But there's something else that my wife really could use and needs so that she can be a keeper at home like she wants to be. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Sometimes it can play out, well, we'll get to that later. I got to really have this gun. You got to really have it? Really? Not that there's something wrong with buying guns for yourself. I'm not saying that. So I'm not. Don't go extreme here. Pastor Demlo's anti-gun. No, I'm not. I like them. I'm just saying that our wife's needs should come before our own. Amen? Amen? Thank you, ladies. The next phrase of this verse, and so we're talking about how she's the weaker vessel. We need to bestow and assign that honor to them as unto the weaker vessel. And sometimes men feel like they're superior somehow because God has given them a place of leadership and the wife is supposed to submit to the man and the woman was made for the man and all of that. That's not true. And the next phrase of this verse removes any doubt about whether men are superior to women or not. Here, the Word of God teaches us to give honor unto the wife as being heirs together of the grace of life. Being heirs together of the grace of life. And in this I see that we are to live with a partnership mentality, men, in our marriage relationship. To live with a partnership mentality. Let's do a little word study here as well. The word heir, heirs together, is a Greek word, and I can't even pronounce it, but it means co-heirs, it means participant in common. In other words, it's talking about the fact that we're on equal ground. We're participants in common. And then he says, so we're heirs together, participants in common of the grace. This Greek word is charis or charis. I know some people who name their children charis because it means grace. The Greek word is charis, and it means a gift. It means benefit. It means favor, especially of the divine. All right, so get the words. We are heirs together. We are participants in common of the gift, the benefit, the favor, especially of the divine, of life. Now, this word is a Greek word, and it's the Greek word zoe, and it just simply means life. It's not talking about spiritual life. It's talking about physical life. And so he says here, you give honor unto the wife, you bestow that upon her as unto the weaker vessel, and as heirs together of the grace of life, participants in common of the gift of God, the gift of life itself. Meaning what? What's the implication? None of us have anything of ourselves. The life we have is a gift from God. Whether you were created by God for a purpose, your wife was created by God for a purpose, we are participants in common of life, the gift of life, the air that we breathe. And so he's not speaking spiritually here as in the gift of eternal life. He's speaking physically, that the life we have is a gift from God that we can enjoy only by His grace. We are both, husband and wife, beneficiaries of God's grace in giving us air to breathe and physical life. Men are in no way superior to women in God's eyes. We're all His creation. He loves us the same. Now, we certainly have different roles to play that God has given to us, that God has ordained, but it doesn't mean that one gender is better than another. We are in this together. It's true that men are physically stronger. It's true that typically men are better at some things than women are. But on the other hand, there's a whole lot of things that women are better than men at. Although it is kind of fun to say boys are better than girls. Right, Kara? Oh, wait, did that come out? That was my inside voice. That just came out. So let's make an application. What creates harmony and peace and love in your home? It's not this, the attitude of, I'm the king of this castle and everyone must submit to me. That's not what brings peace and harmony in your home. And so you single guys who are not married yet, make note, write this down. That's not the attitude that you need to be taking when you are getting to know a young lady who could possibly be your mate. I would say you are hopeless if that's the attitude that you take. There might be a reason that you're going to be single for the rest of your life if that's the attitude that you take. What is it that creates harmony and love in your home? Well, a wife is commanded to submit herself and be subject under her husband's leadership, but her job can actually become a whole lot easier, and dare I say she wants to submit herself when the husband is fulfilling his role with the proper understanding of who he is and truly how valuable she is. It all works together. Amen? And some men treat their wife like she was put on this earth to serve him. I'm serious. Some men treat their wives like that, like somehow, you know, he's God's gift to her, and she should understand how blessed she is to be my wife, and she should serve me. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a man not that long ago, actually, who was sharing the story of his childhood with me. And he told me how his childhood was with his father. and the dinner had to be on the table the moment that he walked in the door. His wife had to have everything in order and in tip-top shape, and the dinner had to be hot and ready on the table when he walked in the door so that he could sit down and eat. And no one was allowed to talk to him for like 2 hours when he got home. And it was always his way or the highway, never taking into consideration his wife's feelings. It was only what he wanted and when he wanted it. But I sort of suspect that there's a whole lot more men that treat their wives like that than we would want to admit. And maybe they don't rant and rave, and maybe they don't throw out threatenings, like, if you don't have my dinner on the table when I come home, I'm going to beat you. Maybe it's not like that. But with the attitude and with the response that a man gives to his wife could be the teller of how he really feels about her. He doesn't value her. She is not precious and exalted in his eyes. He is. And God gives us the formula for how we have happy homes. Man, your wife is not your servant in the sense that she was put here on this earth to meet your every whim and desire. We are to be servants to each other and to serve one another. But she is not your servant in the sense that she is here to meet your every whim and desire. If that is how you think or how you feel, you're a selfish jerk. Amen? In fact, you ought to serve and sacrifice for her just as Jesus loved and gave himself for his church. That's the example. And we need to live with our wives as fellow heirs of the grace of life. We need to cultivate companionship. We need to cultivate friendship. We need to cultivate communion with our wives in our homes and mutual respect as heirs together of the grace of life. Does that make sense? That's the instruction from God's word here on how we can have happiness and peace in our home. Men, this is the instruction that God has given to you and to me as men, as husbands, to live with them according to knowledge, to understand who they are, to submit ourselves to their needs, to give them the protection that they need as a weaker vessel, to bestow that honor unto them. How we see them will determine how we treat them as being heirs together of the grace of life. Your wife, men, you ought to view her as a precious gift from God to you. And serve her. Love her. Make her the queen of your castle if you want to be the king. And you know what? She'll treat you like one. If you do that, if you give her the respect she deserves, if you love her, if you cherish her, if you exalt her, if you protect her, she will treat you like there's not another man on the face of the earth. She'll treat you with honor, with respect, with love. She'll want to serve you. She'll want to be for you just exactly what you need. Trust me, she will. It's in her heart. If you'll do your job first. And then the third principle, in closing here, is a proper spiritual relationship is the key to having the right marriage relationship. And vice versa. Because he says, if you go back there, in 1 Peter 3, he says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here is a proper spiritual relationship being the key to the to a proper marriage relationship, and vice versa. You have to have the proper marriage relationship, truly, in order to have the right spiritual relationship. That your prayers be not hindered. This word, hindered here, is a Greek word, ekoptuo, and it means to cut down or cut off. All right? You following this? Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not cut off, cut down. Tell me that it's not saying that you need to have a right marriage relationship in order to have a good, or the right spiritual relationship. You can't possibly have the right relationship with God if you're not treating your wife how she needs, how she ought to be treated, if you're not fulfilling your role. Amen? The immediate context here is instruction for a saved wife and living with an unsaved husband. And he then says, likewise. So these instructions can be applied for how a saved husband ought to live with an unsaved wife so that she might come to Christ. But the principles are exactly the same on how a saved husband should live and treat his wife, should live with and treat his wife. The principles are the same. You cannot have the right spiritual relationship with God if you do not have the right marriage relationship with your wife. Your prayers will be cut off. You also cannot have the right relationship with your wife if you don't have the right spiritual relationship with the Lord. Why? Because we need His help to be the husbands and the men that we ought to be. We need His help. We need His enabling. So, the application is this. It's so important to maintain the right heart before the Lord, to be sensitive, to be tender, that you might have the Holy Spirit's enabling to make you the husband that God wants you to be for your wife and for your family. But I wonder how often men pray for this or they pray for that, and it just seems like nothing happens and they keep hitting a brick wall, as it were. Maybe, just maybe, there are some things that need to be adjusted in how you think of yourself and how you treat your wife. Just throwing it out there. You know, I've been in situations like that before, praying for the Lord to answer this request or give wisdom here or do this, and it just seems like nothing is happening. Pray and pray and pray and pray, and just getting nowhere. It might be due to the fact that your prayers are being cut off. Now, in a case like this, where maybe it's a saved man living with an unsaved wife, you know, and you're praying for his salvation or her salvation or whatever, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening, the thing that he would be praying for the most, her salvation, maybe wouldn't be getting through. Does that make sense? But it's the same principles that apply in a marriage relationship with a saved husband and a saved wife. There's a connection, is what I'm saying, simply saying. There's a connection in your spiritual life with how you treat your wife. There's a connection in your home life that's dependent upon your relationship with the Lord. The two go hand in hand. These are great principles for everyday Christian living that, you know what, when we apply them, make our homes the safe haven, the joyful, peaceful place that God intends them to be. Amen? And so we would be wise men to re-examine, to take a good look, and maybe, you know what, Maybe you are the picture of perfection in your relationship with your wife and your spouse. Maybe you are. I don't know. It's never a bad thing, no matter who you are, to go back and look at your own life and your own relationship with your wife. Is there something I could do better? I love her. I cherish her. She's a gift from God to me. I want to be the best that I can. Is there something that I can do better? Amen? To make a little bit of heaven here on earth in your home. It's good. Good principles. Let's apply them. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth. Great principles for godly homes. Build strong homes, Lord. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Thank you for these faithful people who love you. And Lord, I know desire to please you. Father, desire to be all that you would have them to be. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us this instruction and help us to apply it in the areas that it's necessary for your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You still here? Still awake? Still love me? I didn't say it. God did. Take it up with him. All right, good to see you folks today. It's always a blessing to meet with you in the house of the Lord, and I do truly love you as my church family. It's a blessing to be able to pastor this church. All right, we'll be dismissed. We'll have choir practice very, very quickly. I know some people need to get on the road, so we'll get to practice right away. It'll be short. And Lord bless you this week. We'll see you again on Wednesday. All right? You are dismissed.